Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Welcome, it's Friday. And as we do every week on Fridays, we bring you a little thing we call the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room this week is the fall campaign. So I wrote a piece on Substack Thursday morning. I think you'll like it. 10 things voters hate about you. And it's dedicated to our friends in the Republican MAGA party. The more I looked at all these special elections this year, and there have been 35 elections in the last year and 2 months, whatever the number is, specials. And they range from the off-year races in Virginia, New Jersey, New York, to county commission races, to public service statewides in Georgia, to special elections in red states like Florida.
A political shakeup in Palm Beach after Democrats flipped a Republican-held Florida state legislative district home to Mar-a-Lago.
Democrat Emily Gregory defeated Trump-backed Republican John Maples. President Trump, as a citizen of Palm Beach County, will now be represented by a trio of Democrats across the Florida State House, Senate, and U.S. House.
And the reason I wrote this was because I was really thinking about what has gone off the rails for the GOP in terms of their electoral predicate. When you saw this week in Palm Beach, in the Mar-a-Lago district, Donald Trump's hand-picked candidate.
Is John Maples here? Get up here, John. Gotta meet John. I'm endorsing John.
Vastly outspent the Democrat. And yet, she won. In Tampa, my hometown, this is a state Senate race that I was a consultant for years ago. I know this district like the back of my ass. It runs from Hyde Park and South Tampa, all the way up through Carrollwood, all the way up through Lutz. Tampa, real ones know, OG Carrollwood, we know. And this is an area that's become more and more and more and more and more Trumpy over the years. And yet, once again, a guy got outspent. Nathan got outspent dramatically by the Republic. I mean, not just a little bit, like 25-1 dramatically outspent by the Republicans. And the woman who was running is considered a darling of the Republican Party in Florida, a rising star. And I want to explain something to you about how things work in the great state of Florida really quickly. The reason the Democrats lose is because the Republicans have all the money. And that money buys them tidal waves of media, great consultants. You can go into a state house race in Florida and spend $1 million, which is what a normal congressional race is in the rest of the country, okay? She had all that in the Tampa state Senate seat, Senate District 14, and lost. We've seen other races in Florida that were huge shockers. Miami is now governed. The city of Miami now has a Democratic mayor for the first time in 33 years, excuse me. Let me be accurate about that. But these races were a microcosm of what's going on around the country. And there are 10 big things that the Republicans have done or not done that make voters hate them. And you're seeing this increasingly. You're seeing Democratic voter intention go up and up and up and up. You're seeing independent voters breaking. For a while, we were seeing independent voters like 2-1 against Trump policies. But now we're seeing them vote between 2-1 and 3-1 against Republicans. In these two races this week, the independent vote quite clearly split about 70% for the Democrats. In Florida, traditionally, the traditional model you would use that held up over many, many decades was about 62% of independents were functional Republicans. That is no longer the case. Why is that happening? Well, folks, the first part is and I'm going to go through this list, and it's not really in order, okay? I don't want to really say that this list is in any sort of direct cadence, because I wrote it based off of a tweet that I wrote in the early morning hours, and it sprang to me fully formed. The muse was upon me. First off, The war in Iran is just beginning. Voters are not happy. This war is already about as popular as Vietnam was in the end. This war is already about as popular as continuing Afghanistan was in the end. This war is already way behind the public opinion curve, and people are not happy. They do not like it. It is not a happy moment for this country. Why? They know Trump is lying to them. They know Hegseth is lying to them. They know Rubio is lying to them. They know that egregious harpy Carolyn Leavitt at the White House is lying to them. They know Sean Parnell, the Pentagon spokesman, is lying to them. They know the combatant commanders aren't allowed to say what's going on and thus are lying by omission. They know there are now 50,000 American troops in and around the Gulf region and more combat forces pouring in by the minute. They are pretty sure that tonight, as you watch this, Friday night or Saturday after the markets close, of course, we may do an amphibious landing or a parachute jump into Karg Island. It's going to go great. Nothing can go wrong. But the voters don't like this war. They don't see a strategy. They don't see any real objectives. They don't see any there about this. Now, look, I've said this 100 times now. Voters also aren't like, this isn't a, like, oh, yay, we love the Iranian regime. No one does. But if you wanted to get rid of them, you've absolutely screwed that up. If you want a regime change, you've absolutely blown it for 100 fucking years. You know why? Because the regime has now said, the great Satan's attacking us, and you wanted to be on their side? But, you know, voters love a land war in Asia. They love it. They also love a land war in Asia that's jacking up gas prices. They love that. There's just nothing voters want more right now than to pay $5 a gallon or $10 a gallon for gas.
There's many of whom voted for President Trump for the first time in 2024, hoping to have no more wars and to have lower prices. Now, with a war taking place and with gas prices going up, curious what President Trump's message would be to those voters who kind of swung into his coalition in 2024, but maybe don't feel the administration's going as they had expected.
President Trump is doing this for you.
People out here taking pictures, they don't even believe it. $8. $8.21. You might as well get you a horse.
Bro, what you doing? It go right there.
Bro, you got $6, bro?
Yeah, bro.
They could pick that shit up.
Now, I am not paying $9 for gasoline. No way.
I can't lie to you. This gas is getting crazy in Georgia, bro.
Look at this.
All right, bro. You can slow down.
It's not exactly unwinding quickly. If the market plays this little game with Trump and he plays a little game with them, oh, we've got peace talk. It's almost done. The market, oil futures drop. The market goes up. The next day, the missiles are still flying. The war is still running. And yet, then the market corrects again and goes back to where it should be. And he plays the game with them over and over again. I think that the taco index of his polling numbers dropping off and the market's hurting are still pushing him towards some sort of resolution of this. But there's also the ratchet and momentum of ground forces. When you get victory disease, we're just about there. We're almost going to win. We got it. You keep going. And the voters hate it. And the Republicans, who are saying nothing except, oh, hail the great leader, Donald Trump. They're taking the hit. Watch. So the second big point is that that tariffs made us all rich, right? You guys got your tariff check, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no one did. And even though the courts have ordered Donald Trump to undo the tariffs, he's still doing the freaking tariffs.
We got rogue judges that are criminals. The Supreme Court didn't want to put one little sentence that all money taken in up till this date doesn't have to be paid back.
That's a subcategory of his lawlessness, but inflation is going to hit 4.2. Between Iran and the tariffs, you had a recipe, a cocktail, like designed in a laboratory to raise inflation. It is now higher than it was when Joe Biden left office. Thanks very much. You're doing a great job, Donald. But, you know, these Republican voters have taken this hit. Farmers, contractors, manufacturers. You can't buy them all off. You can't just flood the zone with free money and hope it works, because it hasn't worked. Trump in the press conference on Thursday said, "Oh, we've given the farmers $1 billion.
I'm delighted to announce this afternoon that the United States will be taking a small portion of the hundreds of billions of dollars we receive in tariffs. We are making a lot of money from countries that took advantage of us for years. They took advantage of us like nobody's ever seen. Our deficits are way down because of tariffs. I guess because of the election, because without the election, you wouldn't have tariffs. You'd be sitting here losing your shirt. But we're taking in billions. We're really taking in trillions of dollars, if you think about it, Scott, because the real number is, you know, when you think of all the money being poured into the country for new auto plants and all of the other things, AI. So what we're doing is we're taking a relatively small portion of that, and we're going to be giving and providing it to the farmers in economic assistance.
$1 billion, bitch, that's a fraction of a cent of what they need. That's a triviality for what the damage you've done to American agriculture at every level, in every part of it. And I mean that from crop producers to cattle, to citrus, to hogs, to timber, everything. Your tariffs have absolutely wrecked the rural economy. There's a reason why Donald Trump is now, for the first time since 2015, for the first time since we started asking this question, upside down with non-college white men. There was a period of time in 2016 and 2017 and 2018 when non-college white men were with Trump 67% to like 18%. It is now 5% negative. He's in bad trouble with them, in part because of the tariffs, because it affected them directly. It hit them directly. Lower middle class, non-college white men. That guy that has to go out and fill up his Ford F-250 with $6 a gallon diesel is not happy. He gets why it's happening, because of Trump's war and Trump's tariffs. So another thing the Republicans definitely should run on this fall, and I really hope they run on this because it's going to be so awesome for them, is shutting down the government over the masked death squads. Now they shut down TSA, which is a thing Trump admitted today on Thursday, as I'm recording this. He admitted it. He's keeping the Republicans from allowing the TSA to reopen.
Republicans and Democrats in the Senate to fund all but enforcement operations of ICE to get those TSA agents repaid and to open up the rest of the department. Would you sign that?
Well, I don't want to comment until I see the deal, but as you know, they're negotiating a deal. I guess they're getting fairly close, but I think any deal they make, I'm pretty much not happy with it.
The Democrats now, as of today, when I'm recording this, 8 times have offered to reopen TSA, DHS, functions like the Coast Guard and FEMA and all that, everything but ICE. And ICE, all they have to do at ICE, all Trump has to do is agree that ICE can't wear the masks, they have to get warrants, and they can't surveil Americans, and a few other minor, trivial body cam type things. None of it's hard. But Stephen Miller has the gimp suit on Trump, and Trump won't do it. So I want you Republicans, because you think, well, the Democrats are shutting down TSA. Nobody buys it. The polls already say they blame you guys, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And by the way, the SAVE Act, I'm going to get to that in a minute, it's not going to help you end this fight. You're not getting TSA wrapped up with the SAVE Act, because the SAVE Act is dead. It's just too dumb to lay down quite yet. So another way that Republicans are really missing what I've always considered in my entire career in politics, left, right, or center, to be a killer app, and that is corruption. Even his voters get it. And independent voters have historically been incredibly sensitive to public corruption. They do not like it. It is not one thing. It's not a thing they like. And these unbelievably obvious pay-to-play pardons, these unbelievably obvious corrupt plea deals where where the DOJ pays that fucking criminal Mike Flynn $1.2 million. Because, oh, he got his feelings hurt because when he lied to the FBI, he got indicted with Crossfire Hurricane. Guess what? You fucking deserved it. But look, Trump promised his base something they liked too. They thought Washington was wildly corrupt. And you know what? They're right. They're right. Washington is wildly corrupt. And the corruption has a name, and the name is Trump. It's not drain the swamp. It's here's my fucking Venmo. Send me the money. Here's my wiring information. Send me the money. Here's my Bitcoin wallet. Send me the money. Voters don't like it because they're not part of the club. They're not part of the crowd. They're not part of the Trump inside ball game where the guys who are paying the bribes get whatever they want. And the ROI on these bribes is ridiculously great, by the way. Apple gives Trump $1 million in a stupid gold statue, and yet he doesn't tariff iPhones at the same rate as other technology. And it saved Apple tens of billions of dollars. Trump's a cheap date. I mean, Trump is a cheap date. He's a slow gin girl, as my grandma used to say. But look, all of the grift, all of the corruption, all the scamming, all the Corey Lewandowskis and Christy Gnomes and the inside, you know, contracts for $200 million glamour shot video of her, all of this garbage is happening when Americans are getting screwed, when Americans are absolutely getting hammered by this economy. They don't get a secret handshake to get a regulation change for them. They don't get a trip to the Oval Office if their friend or relative or neighbor gets in trouble, where they can slip Trump $1 million check to a super PAC, and then their husband or wife or friend gets free from prison. But that's happening for everybody else. Rich folks have got it amazingly good in Washington right now, and they're getting much richer. The degree of corruption in the city has always been there, but it is now stratospheric. It is now absolutely insanely over the moon. Another thing that voters really love, and I hope Republicans really run on this, just make sure to remind them that your big, beautiful bill that cut everybody's ACA subsidies was to give Elon Musk a tax cut. Remember that, Republicans. That's your line. We cut your health care so we could give Elon Musk a tax cut. That's your line, Republicans. I want you to run with that because it's so good. You've got so much to run on. It's such a great message. We cut your health care so Elon Musk could have a tax cut. Practice it. You'll believe it at some point. You'll get it. You'll internalize it. You'll say, yeah, the big, beautiful bill was so good because thank God America's struggling billionaires finally got a little relief. It's going to be amazing. I will say, and this is an honest and true answer, one of the reasons Kamala Harris is not our president is because inflation was really bad under the end of Joe Biden's term. Okay. By the time Election Day rolled around, inflation was at a terrible, terrible, terrible number of 3.1%. It was terrible. And Republicans never stopped reminding Americans that Joe Biden's inflation was making groceries unaffordable and making it impossible for people to get ahead.
Milk to eggs to meat. Former President Donald Trump surrounded himself with grocery staples ahead of a news conference in Bedminster, New Jersey today. This is his opponents tout a win in slashing prescription drug prices. Former President Donald Trump surrounded himself with groceries.
Grocery prices have skyrocketed. How can a family afford that? So when I win, I will immediately bring prices down.
And now inflation for Donald Trump, and this is your other line, Republicans, I want you to really internalize this one too. Donald Trump has done much better than Joe Biden on inflation because his inflation rate is now 4.2%. Oh, wait. Lower is better, right? And yet, 4.2. And it's going to go up. And these Republicans who are running next year, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to talk about how the economy is still Biden's fault. Oh, no, baby doll. Voters don't believe it. They know it's on you. So I want you to proudly go out there and say, we got inflation. We whipped inflation down to 4.2%. Strong like bull. It's going to be great. You should totally run on that. It's the best thing ever. And as a corollary to inflation, all you Republican elected officials who are running this year, I want you to go out. I know you don't like to do this, but go put gas in your car. Please, I beg of you. Just go out, put gas in your car. The little stickers that used to mock Joe Biden and gas prices, well, gas prices are higher now than they were at any point during Joe Biden's administration. Oops. Whoopsie. The I did that stickers you're seeing everywhere. I ran your gas prices up stickers you're seeing everywhere now. They're all over the place. Gas prices are such a bitch indicator. They're such a brutal thing that voters respond to. They're a bitch to get over. You can't spin it. And it, by the way, Democrats can't spin it. Republicans can't spin it. And the whole energy dominance, we're energy dominant. If we are, show me how.
The amazing thing is we don't need the Hormuz Strait. We don't need it. We don't need it at all. We have so much oil. Our country is not affected by this. We have twice the amount of oil as Saudi Arabia or Russia.
If we are, tell me why. That goes back to the war, which Republicans, you should definitely talk about it. Like, your gas prices are up because we went to war. It's going to be great. Voters will love you for it. Please, voters will absolutely just embrace you. They'll say, you know, it's so worth it to have Donald Trump's senile bone dome full of cobwebs and mice producing this brilliant war plan in the Middle East that we can't quite tell you when it's going to end or what it means or how we're going to do it or what's going to happen or what our goal is or who's in charge of anything ever, anywhere. But you should be willing to pay more for gas prices because Donald Trump's a genius. One of the great things about gas prices being high politically is you cannot spin it. You can't spin it. George Soros doesn't control Chevron. Some woke libtards don't run BP. The progressive activists don't run Exxon. The oil and gas industry is right now about to have the biggest conceivable windfall in the world. Supplies are tight, demand is high, prices are up. Now, of course, we do still support them. Those are struggling energy companies with massive tax relief, but that's okay. They need it. They're so put upon. But yes, Republicans, please, please run on how great gas prices are because it's amazing. I encourage you. This is going to be one of your proudest moments. Another thing that if you're missing this, you're missing it, but nobody's missing it. Yes. Donald Trump launching a war that's going to cost trillions of dollars and destroy the world economy and our own and cost maybe thousands of American lives. Who knows how it's going to go by the time it's all over, was done in part, not entirely, but in a meaningful, measurable way as a response to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal that will not go away and will not die. That scandal will not go away and will not die because the cover-up has been so clumsy and amateurish and stupid.
And I am looking forward to your detailed explanation for why you have withheld almost half of the documents, which is required by the bill. Hello. Now, obviously, there are 3 million documents, so I didn't get through much. But one thing I didn't see was the client list that you said you had on your desk a year ago.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
So, Ms. Bondi, will you commit right here to immediately providing those two documents in unredacted form to members of Congress? Not a complicated question.
Well, I guess it is for you because you have a law degree and those are privileged.
Okay. They're not privileged, but we will discuss that later.
That shouldn't surprise you. These people are clumsy and amateurish and stupid and malicious. Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche and Cash Patel and the White House folks who are running this cover up have messed it up. They Streisand affected the cover up. You know what? Voters have noticed. No voter in this country, there's not a single group in a majority of voters who say they believe Trump is being honest and truthful about the Epstein matter.
Just wanted to ask you, have you had a chance to review any of the unredacted files over at the DOJ, the Epstein files?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I just came from there.
What can you tell us?
There's a bunch of sick fucks.
And I mean, anything more that we don't know? I feel like that's pretty well established.
I know. I think the part that is just so disgusting is that so many people knew.
This is Drop Site News correspondent interviewing Becca Ballant, a Democrat from Vermont, and I appreciate her response, quite frankly, because it is a bunch of sick fucks, and they knew about it, and they've been hiding it. But I want you to hear this next part, because he asked her what all she saw. She said she only had a limited amount of time, so she went looking for something very specific, and I want to talk about that.
One was related to whether or not Trump, you know, had ever kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago, as he claimed.
What'd you find?
It's not true.
It's a lie.
It's a lie.
Republicans don't think he's being honest about it. Independents don't. Democrats sure don't. The entire noise machine to try to cover up Epstein is going to run right into a brick wall. And that brick wall is that this war will end or it will not. But Epstein will be there, rotting in the darkness, stinking worse every day. If the Democrats take control of the House, and they will in the fall, Jeffrey Epstein is going to be a front and center issue, not because Jeffrey Epstein was a monster, but he certainly was, and because Trump was a degenerate, which he certainly is and was, but because there's been a massive cover-up that makes Watergate look like a bridge game, okay? There's been a massive government-run cover-up that has been in direct violation of not only federal law, but also entails by Bondi, Blanche, Patel, and many others, perjury, obstruction of justice, and conspiracy. None of this is going to go away. And Jeffrey Epstein has not gone away with the voters. It's split the Republican base. They don't like it. No matter how many times Fox tries to make Trump into a hero about Epstein, it doesn't work. We've talked about it 100 times. I'm not going to go too much deeper into it. But, you know, if Republicans want to tell people what they've done this year, and this rolls into my next point, you can definitely say that you fought so hard to keep the Epstein files from being released that you actually had to shut the government down at one point. You must be so proud. Run on that. I just also want to say to Republicans, and this is the next point here, because there is an expectation by voters that you will do something in Congress, that you will do something. It doesn't have to be something amazing every single time. You don't have to do a home run every single time, but voters would at least like some singles and doubles, right? What have you done as Republicans that you can be proud of this year? And I'll tell you, you've got a really amazing set of things to be proud of, Republicans. And I want you to run on these because the American people love these so much. You gave Elon Musk a tax cut by cutting healthcare. I love that. You spent the majority of your political energy this year on the SAVE Act, which is about to go down, first off. And while you think voters like the things in the SAVE Act, oh, voter ID. Yeah, people are okay with voter ID, sure. But you know what? You know where voter fraud bills rank on the list of most important priorities for Americans? Like 500th. 487, whatever the number is, it's nothing. As I jokingly said, it's above Nickelback and below Murder Hornets. No one gives a shit. It's not an issue. It's especially not an issue when Donald Trump has taken the country to an insane war and Donald Trump has wrecked the economy with tariffs and gas prices are $5 a gallon. So your SAVE Act will not save you, but that's what you spent most of this year on so far. That's the big deal for you because you think you're going to get your ass whipped unless you cheat. Voters get it. They don't care. They may say, oh, yeah, pass the SAVE Act. Okay, whatever. But you know what they would really like? Inflation to go down, jobs to come back, gas not to be $5 a gallon. That's what they'd really like. But you've done nothing about that. You've done nothing because you can't. Because every single one of you has Donald Trump's thumb up your ass, moving your mouth like a sock puppet. I love Donald Trump. That's all you can do and say, because you can't put a bill out there that he doesn't want. You can't propose legislation that Trump doesn't want. And right now, he's frozen Congress and frozen Washington, insisting on the SAVE Act. And it's not going to work. And so when you go to voters, you're going to say to them, well, we renamed the post office after a beloved former clown, or we're going to name this highway after Charlie Kirk. Guess what? They don't care. Guess what? The voters are going to look at you and be like, the fuck did I send you to Washington for, you idiot? They're going to be like, why would I bother with this guy who doesn't deliver for my community? And you Republicans in the swing seats who are pretending now to be suddenly independent, Mike Lawler, get a grip. You guys have been up Trump's ass too. Mike Lawler and all these Republicans who are in these swing seats, these Harris and Biden seats, and in these seats that are now increasingly in danger, by the way, increasingly at risk, by the way, all of you still voted for Trump on an average of 98% of the time. You real rebels voted 97 or 96% of the time, but the rest of you voted almost every single time for Donald Trump in whatever he wanted. Donald Trump could say, I want a bill to build a 30-foot bronze statue of my penis in Times Square, and you'd vote for it. Not one of you would go, no, sir, that's crazy. But he would. And you would do it. That's all you've cared about in Congress, and it's all you've done in Congress is protect Trump or suck up to Trump. Yesterday, they gave him the Donald Trump America First Prize.
The president has done so much for the American people, and we want to honor him in some small way, some token of our appreciation for his leadership. And so tonight, we have created a new award. We're going to do something we've never done before. We're going to honor him with a new award that we'll present annually from this point forward. But he is the suitable and fitting recipient of the first ever America First Award. We can think of no better title for what that is.
A gold bust with him wearing his funeral hat. Yeah, voters love that. Right now, they're not suffering at all. They're not scared shitless of AI. They're not scared to death of inflation. They're not worried that private equity is buying up every house in their neighborhood. They're not worried that AI is data centers are coming to wreck their communities. They're not worried about anything else. Oh, no. Make sure you give Donald Trump a gold statue. It's the final thing. And this is why I think you guys have just got such an opportunity this fall. All of you, including you guys in the swing seats, you should go out and just tell people, I don't serve the constituents here in the 23rd district of New York or the 17th district of Florida or the 5th district of Tennessee. I'm making those numbers up. I don't serve you. I'm there for Donald Trump. That's all I care about. I'm just Trump's guy. That's all I do in Washington is Trump's bidding, Trump's will. You should run on that. You should go out there and say, absolutely, I believe in nothing except what Trump tells me to believe. I will do nothing that would help you if it doesn't make Trump happy. I will hurt you if it makes Trump happy. You should run on that. That would be the most amazing moment, the most amazing reveal for all of your character and your integrity and who you are as people. Because this is what you are. The problems you're facing electorally, and by the way, while we're recording this, the Democrats are now expanding the map in Florida to go after Mast, Salazar, Mills, and the great white whale, Randy Fine, too. The map is expanding. Your numbers are cratering. You have so many things I just listed to run on, and I dare you to do it. I dare you to run on the things I just told you to run on, because that's all you've got. The elephant in the room is that the climate has changed. The tidal turn of American politics is changing. You're still going to try to cheat. You're still going to try to play culture war bullshit. You're still going to try to do everything you can to put ICE in voting places. We get it. But you don't have a place to go. The voters are turning against him, and they're turning against you. You can feel it, and your consultants can sure feel it. Because after your primaries, a lot of you are going to be like, well, you know, I guess I knew Donald Trump a little bit in D.C. I met him once, maybe, and I'm really here to represent the people of Appletown, USA. No, you're not. And we all know it. The internet, and we do not forget. You've got 10 things that voters hate about you, and those are the only 10 things you've got to run on. And that, my friends, is this week's elephant in the room. Hey, everybody. As always, I really appreciate you watching, listening, however you're getting this, whether it's on YouTube or a podcast platform. It really means a lot to me and to the team. And there are a lot of people behind me that help me put this together every week. Great producers inside my team. You know who you are, Whitney, Riley, Kate, Ben, Joey. You guys kick ass every week. Folks, if you could like and follow, it would really help us get this podcast to grow even faster. It's doing well. I would like it to do better. We are so grateful to all of you. You can catch me also, by the way, every Tuesday night on the Strategy Session on Lincoln Square, Thursday nights on the Breakdown at Lincoln Project, Friday mornings with Andrew Wilson on America's only father and son polling show. It's the nerdiest damn thing you've ever seen, and yet people seem to like it. Okay, we'll keep doing it. You can also catch me on my Substack, Against All Enemies, and appreciate all of you very, very much. And you guys have a great weekend. We'll probably go to war this weekend. Who knows? We'll see what Polymarket says about it. Thanks, everybody.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.